time in Auburn, but I think the risk is rather small. Temperatures will be in the 70s, and some strong to severe storms are possible by Saturday night. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
CB&S Bank, formerly Prime South Bank, is excited to be part of your neighborhood. CB&S Bank is a community bank with 113 years of being committed to the communities they serve. Come see the people you know and trust in Tallahassee, Wetumpka, Pike Road, and Birmingham. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
CBS 8 and ABC 32, I'm Julia Brooks. The wait continues for confirmation on whether remains found in a wooded area of Macon County belong to missing 19-year-old Anaya Blanchard. This is day three for investigators working the crime scene. At least 100 officers were at the site yesterday. We've learned that the third man arrested in the case, David Johnson Jr., who was charged with hindering prosecution, allegedly lied to police about his son possibly driving another suspect, Ibrahim Yazid, from Alabama to Florida, where he was later arrested. Funeral arrangements have been announced for Lowndes County Sheriff John Williams, who was shot and killed over the weekend. His funeral is set for Monday, December 2nd at Garrett Coliseum at 11 a.m. His burial will be held at Shiloh Primitive Baptist Church in Lowndesboro. Alabama News Network will have live coverage of the funeral Monday morning. I'm Julia Brooks. Those are some of your news headlines this morning. For updates on these stories and others, be sure to watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
Hey, Tammy, let me tell you about how to bring in those big deer.
Randy, I know how to attract the big bucks.
Aha, very funny. At Prattville Farm Center, we've been helping hunters be successful for over 35 years.
We have the products, supplies, and knowledge you need to get those big bucks.
That's right, Tammy. We don't believe in gimmicks or magic seed. We just believe in sound planting practices that work.
So come see us today at 1154 South Memorial Drive in Prattville.
Now that we're done talking about those big bucks, how about those cute does?
Live local talk, the River Region's only 24-hour News Talk FM station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
The busiest travel day of Thanksgiving week sees major storms across the nation. Wind and snow is moving across the Great Lakes into New England.
Slow down, slow down. Headlights on, cruise control turned off.
Firefighters have a new fire in California to deal with. The Cave Fire that started on Monday in Los Padres National Forest.
President Trump says that drug cartels based in Mexico will soon be officially labeled terrorists.
The House Judiciary Committee holds their first impeachment hearing on December 4th. That's the panel that would craft articles of impeachment for the full House to consider.
The CDC is now saying it has identified 27 more people who were ill from the recent outbreak of E. coli linked to romaine lettuce from Salinas, California.
88-year-old Leonard Miller of Ohio is called a hero after using a Christmas lawn ornament to save a 10-year-old girl from a pit bull. He hit the dog with the Nutcracker toy soldier until it let her go.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Did I hear that right? That a guy saved a little girl by taking a Nutcracker ornament and beating the dog with it?
Yes.
nothing says happy holidays, like the Nutcracker sweet.
And it must have been a functional one. I have these memories of, like, can we crack, like, a walnut in it? Like, no, Joey, they're decorative. Why do we even have them?
I broke one, dude. I thought it was a Nutcracker, yeah. No. It's made of balsa wood. His jaw, like, it had a severed jaw. Right. Did you, by any chance, see the video of the police officer? This guy comes up to him, and he hits the police officer in the head.
I didn't see that.
And the police officer stays completely calm.
Wow.
And I know. And he's sitting there, and he's kind of sizing things up. So he walks back up to his car, which is an SUV, opens the back door, and out comes a German.
Okay, I got something for you.
And this German Shepherd comes in and just takes this guy's arm and and the officer gets him in a net hole, just pounding on him while the dog is having lunch. This guy's arm. But this guy was so cool and collective. It was amazing. Absolutely amazing. That I should have gotten that, put that video up on my website. That was hilarious. I mean, I was sitting on the floor rolling. It was so funny. Or was I crying from the Duke game? It's all a big blur to me. But I'm going to make up for it tonight and for tomorrow and the entire weekend. By the way, 280 Farm for the $25 Boston Butt. You can pick up Saturday pickup only. They have, as of when he texted me, they had 10 glazed smoked hams that you can get. 280 Farm. If you want something really good, I believe you can pick it up today for the ham for tomorrow and or for supplement for this weekend. But their hams are spectacular. Very different than any other ham I've ever had. Normally the hams are real kind of tight, and it's like a piece of ham that you have to cut and kind of work your way through. These things are just really tender and have a great deep flavor to it. But you also can get the tailgate special, $79, which is ham, and I mean, it's Boston Butt, potato salad, buns, iced tea, baked beans, the whole shooting match, the whole McGilla. And so take advantage of that. If you want cakes and stuff for Thanksgiving, go down right now to Sweet Creek Farm Market and get them before they sell out, because it was bustling when I was down there. Then, of course, if you need to see about catering, go to 280 Farm and ask for Hannah. Sweet little Hannah. She came into the studio. Wonderful, nice lady. And she handles the catering for Sweet Creek Farm Market. Okay, so let's do the Peter Ducey. We did Peter Ducey cut, too. Let's do Newt Gingrich having heard Peter Ducey do his cut.
Time for today's headliner, former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich. He joins us now. Mr. Speaker, good morning, and thank you for being here.
Good morning. I'm still reflecting on the idea that a California U.S. Senator carrying greens from South Carolina to a Thanksgiving table in Iowa is somehow going to turn her campaign around. A nice gimmick, but doesn't strike me that it's going to get her anywhere except 3%.
Well, they have stumped you. All right, so next week, after we all finish our turkey and the dishes are clean and put back in the cabinet, we are going to see more impeachment hearings. The House Judiciary and Chairman Jerry Nadler has announced that these will begin on Wednesday. No witnesses have been named. We don't know a lot about these, but it looks like this is how they're going to proceed, Speaker.
Well, look, I think from the White House perspective, you have to ask, are all of the interviews that were secret now going to be made available to the White House? I mean, they can't just pick and choose, interview lots and lots of people, and then cherry pick a handful of quotes. So I think that from the White House perspective, this is a moment to negotiate for access to everything which Adam Schiff got in his secret kangaroo court approach, and then make sure that they set rules that allow the White House and the House Republicans to bring their witnesses to Nadler's committee hearings so that they don't have the kind of one-sided, genuine kangaroo court that Adam Schiff was running.
Yes. Good job, Newt. Newt laying it down there. Okay, so Newt is going to continue, continue on here with, impeachment process. His compared to theirs, his meaning when he was Speaker in Clinton, and compared to what they're doing now.
Congressman Doug Collins told Sean Hannity that he thinks that Democrats don't really have anything. They haven't come up with impeachable acts by the president. Here's what he told Sean Hannity.
But you know how I know they don't really have anything? Because his first hearing next week is, Sean, is they're going to bring academics in to tell us what an impeachable offense is. I'll tell you what an impeachable offense is not. It's everything we've seen from Adam Schiff and the Democrats for the past year as they've attacked a very successful president who is simply doing the best job he can for America.
You were heavily involved in the impeachment effort against then-President Clinton. Is it all that difficult to come up with the definition of an impeachable offense?
No, look, this is Nadler, Chairman Nadler, desperate to get some attention from TV. He's been sitting there, I think, very upset because what should have been in the Judiciary Committee was given by Speaker Pelosi to Schiff in the Intelligence Committee. Never been done before, totally wrong. And so this is Nadler's moment to finally shine. And I think that they're stumbling around. I think they're very worried because Nadler earlier had some disastrous hearings, and I don't think they're very confident in his ability to run these hearings. But I think, first of all, I think Collins is you had a very effective defender of the president, and I think he'll be very effective on the committee hearing. But there's a deeper part of this. When we impeached Bill Clinton, we started with an independent counsel report that used the word guilty on 11 different counts, including perjury, which is a felony. Now, they got a report out of Mueller, and despite 2 years of effort, he didn't use the word guilty once. So the difference in the standard between this circus that Schiff has been running and what we did in response to a genuine report by an independent counsel, they're just radically different. And I think we also followed, basically, Peter Rodino, the Democrat chairman in Watergate. We followed his rules for bipartisanship. What they've done is totally one-sided, and I think virtually guarantees that no Republican in the House or the Senate is going to vote to impeach.
Well, Bradley Burns agrees with him. It's interesting to see how that goes out. Before we go to this next cut of Newt Gingrich, I have to get a shout-out to my good friend Kevin Elkins.
Oh, yeah.
My computer died, and I figured out that it was the charger, the power plug on it.
Okay.
So I called Kevin, and he said, come on over, and let's see if we can figure this out. So we go through. Kevin has got, he keeps everything. He has got, like, chargers from 1842. So I go over there, and we go through all of the chargers. The very last one we get to works. And so Kevin was kind enough to let me borrow a charger from him so I could use my laptop and get my show done. That's what friends are for. And Kevin Elkins is a very good and long time friend, personal friend. He's just a great guy. So, Kevin, if you're listening, buddy, I really appreciate it an awful, awful lot. Also, then I was at Fresh Market getting some my hamburger made from my chili. Chili. They have a chili grater, so they cut it in that big, chunky, juicy, goody stuff, which I'll be doing that. Boy, I cannot wait. Then went into Carlton King, who was from Tallahassee, who is a dentist. Used to be right down the street here before he retired. And he said hello, he and his wife. The only problem is that during their shout-out, they're on their way to Georgia, so they're not. They didn't hear that. But it's great to see Carlton King again. Very longtime friend of my family from Tallahassee. Then he moved here as we did. But he's a great guy. Let's continue on with Newt on a vote. It's just the wrong thing to do.
On that note, there's this Democratic congresswoman from Michigan, Brenda Lawrence, who made a lot of headlines yesterday because she was a Democrat that obviously voted yes in the House for the impeachment inquiry. She then said and made headlines for such that she did not see the value in impeaching the president and that she was moving more towards the suggestion of censure. Well, she must have received a lot of pushback within her party yesterday because she seemed to change her stance throughout the day. And here was her yesterday.
I have not flipped, but I was trying to bring some reason to the Senate Republicans. At minimum, you must say that this president has some accountability for his actions. They flipped it and said something that I didn't say. And for the record, I'm 100% convinced by the facts, the investigations, the hearings, and all that's been presented in this very thorough investigation that President Trump should be impeached.
So she seemed to clarify that what she had originally said, censure, not impeachment, but then said at a minimum censure?
Look, the left wing of the Democratic Party is rabid basically to a point where it's a pathology. They hate Trump. They know he's guilty of something. They don't know what it is. They get up every morning and they go, he's really guilty. We've really got to get rid of him. what she actually said the other day, I thought was pretty intelligent, was which was not about guilt or innocence. It was, we're now within a year of an election. Well, let the American people decide this. The idea that a handful of professional politicians sitting in the U.S. House are going to take the presidency away from someone who had 63 million Americans vote for him and do so on the edge of an election, I think is a very, very dangerous idea. And I thought the other day that she was trying to say, you know, to her colleagues, hey, you know, maybe this is not all that clever. Now, of course, she also serves now as a real example. You back off and your left wing is just going to just beat you into the ground. And that's why, in the end, Pelosi's probably going to have to move impeachment, even though she knows it's stupid. She knows it's not going to go anywhere in the Senate. And she knows it's probably going to get a bunch of her marginal members defeated.
And, I mean, when you listen to the tape of what she said, she basically said, you know, the election's in a year. She made the argument against impeachment.
Right.
And then she turns around and completely reverses that because they got to her. They beat her up. And that's a shame because, again, that's, you know, if you're not conforming to what we believe, we're just going to beat the you-know-what out of you. And that's what the Democrats are doing here. Very, very much, I believe, to their demise. I really think that this thing is going to completely backfire on them.
And I highly doubt, you know, Jerry Nadler is going to, you know, come up with any big witness or any big revelation. I doubt that.
I tell you, I think that having him as the face and what's going to happen during that with Doug Collins in there and Jim Jordan, I think he is going to have a hard time. A very hard time. I think he's going to get flustered. I think he's not going to look good. I think he's going to come across, and you're going to hear. Well, matter of fact, let's go ahead and do this next cut here. Looking at the Dems just cannot stand Donald Trump. They wake up every morning, and they're reminded.
Then why did she get bullied into doing it? I mean, she was very reluctant to bring impeachment forward and somehow got pushed, I guess, by the more liberal wing of her party.
Well, I mean, if you looked at people like AOC, these are fanatics. The intensity of their emotional commitment to being destructive is really quite remarkable. And you go out then to the Steyers and to the activists out in the countryside. You know, my guess is if you went to the average Democratic meeting anywhere in America today, you would have a 3 or 4 to 1 representation of people who are passionate about getting Donald Trump. And the reason is they have never accepted his beating Hillary Clinton. They cannot believe that he's now gotten 165 federal judges who are conservative. They deeply dislike him. They deeply dislike his policies. And they, you know, it really is a pathology. This is not politics. This is a psychological condition.
So for the
and, of course, every day that he tweets, he reminds them.
That's true. Every day he tweets, he does remind them who he is and he's out there. And it just bucks the crap out of him. David, hang on. Demo Show, we're going to be back with you right after this.
Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
It's Mattress Firm's Black Friday sale, and it's the best time to save. Get a king bed for the price of a queen and a queen for a twin for savings of up to $600. Plus, get a free adjustable base when you spend just $4.99. Starting Wednesday, get the perfect holiday gift, a Blankwell weighted blanket for just $69. And get the Serta Perfect Sleeper Queen mattress for only $2.99. Your budget stretches further at Mattress Firm.
Offer valid on qualifying purchase. Doorbuster and Hot-Buy offers available while supplies last. Restrictions apply. Valid at participating locations only. For offer details, visit mattressfirm.com/sale.
Pros, shop Lowe's Black Friday deals and put the savings toward your bottom line. Deals like your choice of a DeWalt 20-volt max cordless brushless drill or a DeWalt 2-pack of 20-volt power tool batteries, each just $99. And get up to 40% off select appliance special values, including kitchen suites as low as $11.69 when you order large volume purchases through our quote support program. For these Black Friday deals and more, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Appliances offer valid through 12/5. Tools offer valid 11/28 through 12/4. Volume discount terms and conditions apply. U.S. only.
What could Alabama do with $1 billion? Fund education, health care, public safety, improve the quality of life for all. The Porch Creek Indians have a solid plan for gaming to bring Alabama $1 billion. A game changer for our state. Visit winningforalabama.com, paid for by the Porch Band of Creek Indians.
Almost everyone has a pet or multiple pets. Think about it. Now think about this. Since we love our pets so much, we all need a pet doctor, don't we? They get sick, they need grooming, sometimes they even may need surgery. Ever come home from work and that sweet pet looks like they just ate a sock? Or that they look like they're limping or they're scratching more than usual? What if they have a toothache? You've got to have a vet you trust so completely that you'll trust them with your pet. What if you want to get a chip implanted because they have this habit of getting out of the back gate? Montgomery Veterinary Associates is where you need to take your pet. Dan's been using Montgomery Veterinary Associates for decades, so talk about someone you can trust. The next time you have something happen to your pet or you just need a regular checkup, and take your furry friend to MVA. Their number is 271-1003, 271-1003. Montgomery Veterinary Associates will help you take great care of that furry four-legged member of your family.
On FM, on your smartphone, and online, the River Region's most trusted voice, News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
This is where we are.
Tonight there's gonna be a jailbreak somewhere in this.
Let's go to the phones, boys and girls. Let's go to David. David, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Hey, Dan, how are you?
David, I'm doing great, and you?
Doing fantastic.
I like that. You getting ready for T-Day?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Hanging around town. What about you?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Hey, you know, the Democrats and their base, voting base, you know, there's like a difference between anger and rage. Anger is when you're mad at someone and you point a loaded gun at them. Rage is when you put the gun to your head and pull the trigger, hoping the round will somehow find them after it passes through you.
I like that.
You know? And it's really the Democrats are not just in a rage; they're in a blind rage where they are just so angry and so just blinded by their hatred for Trump that they just can't see, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel. They can't see that, you know, that there's a train headed for them and going to run them over eventually, which will be the election next year. And, you know, it's really a political suicide pact that they're on to just basically destroy themselves, which, you know, as you know, hey, when your enemy's, you know, destroying themselves, just sit back, pop a cold one and pop your feet up and watch the show, you know? So, which is really what Trump does. I mean, every time he tweets, you know, he's just gigging them on, and they take the bait every single time.
Yeah, I people can write books about this, about what went wrong in 2020 for the Democrats, and
right,
this whole impeachment stuff, the way they talk, the way they handle it, the way the media has done this. I think there are going to be so many losers out of 2020 that it's going to be incredible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, what is it, like 30 of their moderates are up for re-election in areas that Trump won?
They're 31, and, they're 31 plus 10 or higher, yeah. Trump districts.
Yeah, I could see them easily losing 25 or 30 seats.
But then there's another 14 seats that are in the target area for Democrats because the Democrat representing that district has been so out of kilter trying to get things done.
Right, right. And if they do lose control of the House, and the Republicans control, you know, both the House, Senate, and the presidency, you talk about losing their minds. I mean, they will utterly lose their minds. They will just absolutely consume themselves.
They really will. They will eat their own arm off. But here's something that's kind of interesting. Now, Paul Ryan was a smart guy. He was not a conservative guy. He was not a Trump player. Kevin McCarthy, if he becomes the speaker, he will be light years better than Paul Ryan. I mean, sorts of things. Paul Ryan was a smart guy. He was a numbers kind of guy. But Kevin McCarthy is going to be able to deliver in a way Paul Ryan could never do.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. You know, I wasn't wholly impressed with McCarthy at first, but you know he's impressed me in the last few months. You know, with some of the things he's said and done, and you know I'm been pretty happy with him, much to my surprise.
Well, the thing that I like about Kevin McCarthy, which I didn't like about Paul Ryan, can never get into the slipstream of Donald Trump. One of the things when you read The Purpose-Driven Life and The Purpose-Driven Church is you find a wave and you get on top of it and you go with the wave.
Ride the wave.
Kevin McCarthy knows what the wave is. He is in Donald Trump's slipstream, and he knows how to parlay that into something big, just like Lindsey Graham does.
Right.
Now,
but, you know, I don't think Paul Ryan wanted to.
He wanted his own slipstream.
Right, yeah, exactly. And because it wasn't his own, he wouldn't follow Trump, and so he just basically dug his heels in and did nothing, which just drove me crazy.
And the guy to watch is going to be Mitch McConnell. Does Mitch McConnell get this thing figured out?
Well, no, I think Paul Ryan also fell victim to a lot of Republicans. I think even folks who love Trump fell victim to early on in that administration. It's like, no, we don't need to play hardball yet with the Democrats. They didn't quite know what was up yet. For instance, Devin Nunes wanted to subpoena people and get witnesses.
Right, he wouldn't give him the subpoena.
Right, and Ryan's like, no, Ryan was down with the cause, I've learned. He's like, I love what you're doing, Devin, but I don't think we need to go that far. He just wasn't ready to go all the way.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, they were playing the way the Republicans play, which is softball. You know, they still haven't learned. And that's the thing that Trump does, is he plays hardball better than the Democrats. And the Republicans need to follow his lead and play just like he does.
There you go. Well, look at the people that have risen to the top of the pyramid on the House side, Republican. Devin Nunes, Mark Meadows, Jim Jordan, Doug Collins. I mean, those guys are the players now. And Kevin McCarthy has their confidence. And they have Kevin McCarthy's confidence. That is vastly different than the people that you saw during Paul Ryan's era.
Absolutely. So, have a great Thanksgiving, Dan. Take care.
You too, David. Thanks. News Talk 93.1. We'll get into further discussion after this.
Your News Talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Tonight there's gonna be a jailbreak somewhere in this town.
The biggest and baddest broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Hey folks, this is Bruce Holding with CTE Outdoor Power. Remember the good old days when Christmas gifts had us playing outdoors? Well, these days it seems kids only think to ask for another electronic device that'll just keep them cooped up inside. So this Christmas, take charge and get the kids and grandkids enjoying the great outdoors with an American Landmaster go-kart. Now, everyone knows go-karts are fantastic family fun, and an American Landmaster go-kart is fun and safe. These two-seater go-karts are equipped with a three-point safety harness, protective enclosures, and hydraulic brakes. So with layaway or 0% interest financing or payments as low as $30, let's get those kids and grandkids outdoors this Christmas with an American Landmaster go-kart from CTE Outdoor Power. I-85 at Perry Hill Road, and CTEOutdoorPower.com, where for 20 years we support what we sell.
Hello, this is Yasmin Hosen with Beauty and Beyond. We've been advertising with Blue Water Broadcasting for 10 years plus. If you would like to increase your business, use Blue Water Broadcasting radio stations. They get results.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. A windy snowstorm moves from the plains into the upper Midwest as people try to travel for Thanksgiving. To the west, says Greg Carbon with the National Weather Service.
Second round's the more intense storm that's come into the Pacific Northwest coast overnight last night, bringing heavy snow and mountain winds across much of the west, and that'll continue to be a problem right through Thanksgiving Day.
He says that storm will then move east over the weekend. Jimmy Carter's home in time for Thanksgiving.
The former president has been discharged from Emory University Hospital, where he'd been treated for a brain bleed. He was admitted 2 weeks ago to relieve pressure on his brain caused by bleeding from some recent falls. Carter suffered a pelvic fracture in late October, in addition to another fall at his home on October 6th. That one left him with stitches in his forehead and a bruised eye. At 95, Carter is the oldest living U.S. president.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. Consumer spending up at the highest rate in 3 months, according to the Commerce Department. America's listening to Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather, brought to you by H&H Carpet. For all floor covering and granite products, see H&H Carpets for the guaranteed best price. H&H Carpets, across from Walmart on the Atlanta Highway.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. On this Thanksgiving Eve, frontal system moving into southeast Alabama now, so the chance of showers are shifting into that part of the state. Today's high 74. Tonight, partly cloudy, cooler, overnight low 47. Tomorrow, Thanksgiving, a great holiday forecast. Lots of sunshine, high 67, low Thursday night 45. On Black Friday, dry, comfortable, mid-70s. Iron Bowl Saturday. Risk of a couple of showers during the game time in Auburn, but I think the risk is rather small. Temperatures will be in the 70s, and some strong to severe storms are possible by Saturday night. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
When you're shopping for a new car, truck, or SUV, getting a great rate shouldn't be a problem. ASE Credit Union makes auto loans easy with rates as low as 3.5% APR. Apply online or visit your local branch today. ASE Credit Union, your life, your goals, your ASE. Equal opportunity lender.
When news happens, you'll hear about it first. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
The Dan Morris Show.
272-9228, that's where we are. Try to fire me up a little bit. Thank you. Reminder, folks, if you want to get in the Sweet Creek Farm Market drawing, you have to call. First time callers can get in twice, but if you want to get the Boston Butt for a Saturday pickup for $25, then you call 280-FARM, 280-FARM. Then they have the glazed smoked hams that they had 10 of them left about 45 minutes ago. I don't know where we are now, but you better call if you want that, 280-FARM. I think you can pick that up today. I think you can. But call them and they'll ask them and they'll tell you. They are open definitely for Black Friday, by the way. Okay. So I believe we have one more left of Newt Gingrich. New polling in the Bloomberg pathway. Is there one?
For the Democratic Party, it still comes down to then who can they put forward that can beat President Trump. And here's the latest polling from CNN that shows that Elizabeth Warren is falling behind, which we've seen in other recent polls. But this one does show Bloomberg, Mike Bloomberg, polling top five. He's in there now since announcing at 3%. Your thoughts about him jumping in the race?
Oh, look,
top five at 3%.
Bloomberg ought to be smarter than to do this. I'm glad he's in the race because he's the biggest apologist for the Chinese dictatorship that we have. He actually gave an interview 3 weeks ago saying that it really wasn't a dictatorship. And I think it'll be great to have Bloomberg out there debating that. But the truth is, in the end, unless he's prepared to spend $4 or $5 or $6 billion, not 30 or 40 million, but $4 or $5 or $6 billion, he's not going to be a serious candidate. Now, there is a dollar value where you could hire every teenager in Iowa to help, literally, I mean, hire every teenager to help you with the precinct caucus. If Bloomberg's willing to go in that heavy, I think he could become a serious candidate, but I don't think he will. What he may do is he may contribute to getting to a brokered convention, although I have to say, as much as I thought Biden would fade, he does just keep plugging away, and as of the present time, you'd have to say that the party is moving away from the left, moving back towards Buttigieg, who's sort of a moderate, and Biden, who's sort of a moderate. This is by Democratic Party standards. And so I think it's very hard to see how Bloomberg finds an avenue to get to be the nominee in that context.
I agree with that. It's this Bloomberg thing is going to be fascinating. Yes, sir.
Can we talk shop here for a second on politics? This is my just working gut theory here. Obviously, in politics, local, state, national, you need the money to get your name out there if you don't already have name.
You need the Benjamins.
But do you think there is, at a certain point, a diminishing return to how much you can spend all the money in the world, but once you reach a certain threshold, you're not getting much more bang for your buck?
Absolutely. And what people who have money think that money is going to get them there.
Yeah.
And we've had some self-financed candidates, some who've done very, very poorly. Tim James had a lot of self-finance, but he also had a lot of top four donors that put a lot of money in. Terry Everett basically financed his own campaign out of his pocket. Mm. I ran the opposing campaign to him, Larry Dixon, and he was smart. He spent the money wisely. He listened to consultants. He didn't spend it the way he wanted. He spent it the way they wanted. He had a great firm. I became really good friends with Steve Pelham through that and other people involved in his operation. It was a very brilliant operation. But he snuck up, and nobody expected him to go throw down $250,000 for his race and just hit the ground running. And that's what he did.
And I think too many people on the right side of the aisle have conceded the point to Democrats and those on the left that money in politics, money in politics. Like, you could give anybody, say, millions of dollars, go run a business or go run a campaign, and if they don't have the smarts and they don't spend
it, screw it up.
Yeah, and you'll lose all that money, and it will go to waste in many ways. And I think we overstate the money in politics.
Yeah, I think money is, if you're a good candidate, money can make you.
Right.
If you're a bad candidate, money is not going to make you. And I think that's where Michael Bloomberg, he's looking at this from a financial numbers type thing.
Right.
And it's so much to do with personality and popularity, and he didn't have the personality, and he certainly isn't popular. Well, I thought the 3% thing was funny.
And also, Newt bringing up his love of China. I'd not heard that before. I didn't know that about him, and that's
well, because China makes him a lot of money.
Yeah, that's absurd and ridiculous to suggest they're not a top-down dictatorship. They really are at this point. Obviously, there's some competition behind the scenes in the Communist Party and whatnot, but we have to wake up to China. I love the Chinese people. I love what Hong Kong's doing. I think China's a fascinating place, but
I
the
tell
government...
You what, I am shocked, Joey. I mean, shocked, honestly, of how little play the Hong Kong election is getting. You go into Europe and you go look into the Far East press, it is the biggest thing going. It is like front page headlines, history being made, the voices of the people being heard. They had a picture of these guys that were there where all the trash was at the university where they locked themselves in.
Yeah.
And they're standing out in front doing this kind of arms around their shoulders. What do they have in their hands? American flags.
Wow.
American flags. And they're doing like the fraternity shot.
Yeah.
I was going like this, and nobody is, and they've got reporters that are there. They've got people that are there.
Yeah, it's a major rebuke of Beijing and the Chinese government. And just to reiterate the point, American flags, it's the symbol as it should be shown.
And here's the question. Are the media worried that China is going to take it out on them? Mm. And do something bad to them like they did to the NBA.
It's quite possible.
That's the only thing I could think of that did that. Only thing I could think of. Because if you look at some of the foreign press, Maybe what I need to do is put some of this on my website. You guys will be stunned about how, I mean, this is so big. The Australian press was playing it up big time. They have a lot to do with the port and things like that there. Yeah. And it just, the British are playing it up, you know, living up to their word from protest because of protest. I mean, things like that. It's amazing. Let's go to Ritz. Ritz, welcome aboard the Damar Show. How are you today, my friend?
I'm doing well, and I hope you have a great Thanksgiving, my
friend. I am going to have a great Thanksgiving. I'm going to have a Corona and think about you.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, you know, I've noticed that too, Dan, that the mainstream media are very hesitant to say anything negative about Chinese and communists in general.
Well, they were there reporting on this thing. I was kind of amazed that every single day CBS had a story on this. Now, it wasn't necessarily a long story, but they had a story on it. But then when they win, they have a teeny tiny story by comparison, and then we have not heard squat from them since. Nothing.
Right. And to me, this is something pretty close to the fall of the Berlin Wall. I mean, this is a big deal.
It is a damn big deal. This is a landslide, record-breaking election. It's going to take their equivalent of parliament. It's going to throw the mayor out. She's going to get the first thing they're going to do is a no-confidence vote. They win 80% of the contested seat. 80%. Have you ever heard of anybody winning 80% of anything?
No. No.
God.
Bill Gillespie.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Emory.
Hey, but I'm telling you, this right here is such a big deal in that if they didn't push back on the communist Chinese, this would have really dictated how the Chinese would have treated Taiwan in the future, I feel, because they would embolden them.
Absolutely. And did you like the little subliminal message that Trump did? Say, I think Ping will understand this and he'll honor the vote, which is kind of like, you know, you better honor the vote because this thing's going to really turn on you. And they don't want this to get into the mainland China.
Well, I'm telling you, when Barack Obama was in office, the Chinese were aggressively expanding their
influence
throughout the world, and people better really understand what a danger they are to our freedom and to the freedom of the whole world, because these are some communists that are absolutely ruthless and have no hesitancy to kill somebody at all.
Well,
it bothers them at least a little bit.
It is the most unholy alliance, is where you're taking government, communism, and business, and you're fusing them together. And this is something that Milton Friedman said, if that these countries ever get the business part of this thing down, and they put all their energies into the business part, but upholding their concept of communism or fascism, it is going to be awful. And he is absolutely right.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That the Chinese or the communists, period, they understood that's where we derived all our power. It's from our economy. That's how we're able to buy this massive military that we enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's because of our economy. Well, and their advantage is, they make the rules and they have slave labor. So that's hard to compete with.
Yeah, and they're not. There's no competition in there. Government is everything. Bring me your bright ideas, and I will reward you with it. But don't screw up.
And as Dan just said, they're really worried about these type of protests moving to the mainland. And how would, say, a major banking crisis and failure in China? I saw a headline earlier today that 50% of the banks in China failed a central bank stress test.
Well,
along with Trump still hitting them with, you know, wonder they're coming to the table for these trade talks.
Oh, yeah. Well, this quantitative easing hurt them, too, that Obama did, because it made their debt that they held over our head, you know, worth a whole lot less.
Yeah, and their debt that they're holding over their head now is worth a lot less because they devalued their currency so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Trump is really people don't understand what a great thing he's doing for this country in respect to China and pushing back on their predatory trade practices.
Amen.
But he is really saving this country and this economy, because we cannot compete with an economy like China is set up, and then you couple that with their predatory practices. There's no way.
No, you're absolutely right. And again, if they start using that leverage of business and government against us, and all we've got is business, it's not a fair balanced playing field, and we would lose, and they would take over as number one. And if they ever became the basket, like our dollar is the currency of choice, they're wearing a lot of people's currency basket that make up their own currency. If China ever, their currency ever became that, it would screw us up really badly.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Katie, bar the door.
There you go.
Yes, sir. Hey, y'all have a great Thanksgiving, and thank you for taking the call.
You too. Thank you for calling. Let's go to JR. JR, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show on a Wednesday pre-T-Day.
Dan, I'll give you my thoughts on the question you asked a while ago about the news media not covering what's going on over there.
Please.
That's right along the lines of Donald Trump. All those flags, America first, that kind of thing, our strength, they're not gonna show that. And Trump ought to start beating the media over the head with it. They're not going to give him any credit for anything that's going on over there. And the reason they're holding the flags up is because of Donald Trump's in office. With Obama in there, you think they'd be doing that?
No.
Wouldn't do them any good.
Did you watch the rally last night?
What they showed on Fox, you know, in and out.
Yeah. Well, Fox did an interesting piece. They did this interview of some of the rally participants, and they kind of selected some minorities that were there. Why are you here? What's your story? And they were telling the story. It was like back to back to back to back of people saying, I was a Democrat, I'm a Republican now, I'm a Trump Republican. I'm not just a Republican, I'm a Trump Republican. And he has got my vote and my confidence. They would ask him, did you vote in the election in 2018? No, I didn't, but I'm going to be voting in 2020. I think that's going to be the thing that's going to bite them on the butt.
I hope so. I just pray about it every night that, you know, the good Lord sent him to us. But, you know, he'll let us make bad decisions for sure.
Absolutely. And how about the thing when Rick Perry said that Trump is a chosen one, but not chosen in the divinity, but chosen in reading Kings in the Bible, how God chose Solomon and Saul and David, some very flawed people that were there. And boy, the media went crazy over that, saying that he thinks he's divine.
Well, they're godless. What do you expect them to say?
Well, they certainly don't know the Bible, I can tell you that.
No. But I'm like, I think, is it Charles? Is he the Trump-owned guy?
Yeah.
Trump-owned.
There you go.
Y'all have a good holiday.
You too. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. Thanks, Jerry. News Talk 93.1. Going to be back right after this.
The Dan Morris Show.
Know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
fresh-cut Fraser fir, Christmas trees, and wreaths are now available at Southern Homes and Gardens. Individually stored in water, our fresh-cut trees stay perfectly hydrated from the moment we receive them until the moment you take them home, ensuring the highest quality all season. From 6 to 14 feet, we've got the perfect size tree for any space. Plus, fresh-cut wreaths for doors, windows, and mantles, too. Fill your home with the aroma of the holidays. Fresh-cut Christmas trees and wreaths. In stock now at Southern Homes and Gardens, Vaughn Road.
Pecans, pecans, pecans. Sweet Creek Farm Market has the largest selection of local pecans and pecan products in town. Whether they're for a gift or for your family, we have all types. Roasted and salted, honey roasted, praline, chocolate honey baked, or creamy white chocolate pecans. Don't miss the double chocolate bourbon pecan pies. Open on Black Friday. Follow Sweet Creek Farm Market on Facebook for specials. Sweet Creek Farm Market, 2 miles south of Taylor Road and Highway 231 in Pike Road.
The River Region's 24-hour news talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
That's where we are. You guys leaving us to our own devices here? Howard Kurtz was interesting this morning on America's Newsroom. You know, he's the media guy that is at Fox. He's very, very good. He's very good. He doesn't play around the edges. He gets to the point. He doesn't mind calling balls and strikes and calling them the way he sees it. So he's going to share with us that Jim Jordan and Adam Schiff had a little bit of a falling out and would have a little argumentative behind closed doors.
Newly released transcripts in the impeachment inquiry showing House Intel Chair Adam Schiff and Congressman Jim Jordan criticizing each other during a closed-door deposition. Jordan saying, quote, "Maybe you should follow what you tell us every single day when we leave these depositions, that we're not to go out and share substantive comments from the witnesses, and yet you did that just yesterday morning." Followed by this from Adam Schiff, "Mr. Jordan, I appreciate no one has appeared before the cameras more than you to discuss these proceedings." Jordan then responds, quote, "No, you have. The chairman, I think you have well outdone me, Mr. Jordan, and will continue to do so." Millions watched 12 witnesses testify over 2 weeks of public impeachment hearings. What is going to happen next? Howard Kurtz joins us now. I did my best to try to reconstruct what must have been a very tense and interesting exchange, and it just goes to show you the tragedy that we missed all of those exchanges in the closed-door hearing.
No, you were worse than me. I mean, I am shocked that two lawmakers will be squabbling over again who gets more airtime. There was another incident where Adam Schiff called a bathroom break during a hearing and ended up holding a hallway press conference, and the Republicans were steamed. Jim Jordan does have a point about the Democrats leaking the closed-door testimony of these various witnesses, White House officials, career diplomats, and I think that's what robbed the public hearings of a lot of their drama. By the time we heard these explosive phrases like drug deal and hand grenade, we'd all heard it many times before because of the leaks.
Howard Kurtz is good. I like him a lot. It's now he's going to be talking about the Judiciary Committee hearing in good old, what do you call him, Jerry Bear,
Jerry Nadler.
Listen in.
In your view, does that mean Democrats were wrong in holding the closed-door hearings? I mean, would they have been better off if their point is to generate public interest and maybe even excitement? Should they have held the hearings in public?
I don't have any problem with holding closed-door hearings, but then you just keep it secret. I mean, you want to know where witnesses are going to go and what information they're able to provide. But if you leak everything, and of course they ultimately put out the transcripts, then you're sort of doing the made-for-television version. And I think that's part of the reason that the ratings started to go down during that two-week process. Some people were just tuning it out.
Speaking of ratings going down, now we've got more impeachment hearings, this time from the House Judiciary Committee. Do you get the sense that the public appetite is there for more?
I think it's dwindling, and I think this particular hearing, the Republicans held a similar hearing during the Clinton impeachment, is going to be a snooze for the public and the media. You're going to have constitutional lawyers coming in to debate the standards for impeachment. The only thing that would inject it with some drama, John, would be if the Trump lawyers accept an invitation to come in and argue their side. That, of course, then you'd have a lot of tussling. But from the point of view of political optics, Jerry Nadler, the judiciary chairman, will be back in charge, back in the spotlight. There's a reason that Nancy Pelosi effectively sidelined him and put Adam Schiff in charge of the Intel committee hearings, you know, the committee that he chairs. And that is, I think, Nadler, who was fighting with Donald Trump, you know, well before the president was in politics, just comes across as more heavy-handed in his partisanship. But, of course, now he'll be back.
To me, he doesn't come across heavy-handed. He doesn't come across very smart.
He comes across as incompetent, kind of bumbling.
Right. I mean, what he does is when he's losing control, he becomes mad. And when he doesn't like somebody you do, he becomes mad. And he just incompetent. I'm really looking forward to watching him and seeing what that's going to look like, because it's like anything else. Somebody can talk about a candidate in an ad and glitzy and this kind of stuff, but when you see them in person and or you're watching them give a speech or doing a debate where you don't have nine other people out there, you really get a feel for it. And there's something called volume down, where you turn the volume down and you just look at the mannerisms of somebody, mm-hmm. and they do dials on that to say how you like it. I can tell you, Jerry Nadler does not come across good. I mean, I could do volume down myself and go, that didn't look good. I don't know what he's saying, but he looks like an idiot saying it. Okay, so let's stay with Howard Kurtz here, talking about Trump or the attorneys making an appearance, and then he's going to end up with Bloomberg.
Well, and speaking of the president, Nadler has invited him to appear in front of this impeachment inquiry or committee. The president is a big television draw. Does Nadler really think that the president would respond in the affirmative to that kind of an invitation?
I think he felt he had to give out the invitation, and the president teased it on Twitter. Well, I'm strongly considering it. Not holding my breath. I don't expect to see the president of the United States at any of these hearings. He has his own megaphone, as you know, and uses it every day.
Yes, he does. In the meantime, we know that Mike Bloomberg is now running for president. He made his fortune in large part by inventing Bloomberg News and the Bloomberg Terminal. The Bloomberg News Agency says this about covering their candidate. They say, "We will continue our tradition of not investigating Mike and his family and foundation, and we will extend the same policy to his rivals in the Democratic primaries." I suppose the question is, does that go for the president and maybe Republicans as well?
It does not, and that is the reason that Bloomberg News has gotten absolutely pummeled on this, and rightfully so. So in a punt says, well, we're not going to investigate Mike Bloomberg, the boss, or his family, or his foundation, and we can't really investigate the Democratic rivals because that wouldn't be fair, but we'll continue to investigate President Trump because he is the head of the government. Obviously, this looks very loaded, and also it undermines the Bloomberg News his reputation for independence. It's unfair to the thousands of journalists who work there. And what is Mike Bloomberg afraid of? Let's say his company did a couple of investigative pieces about his business record or about his record as mayor of New York City. So what? If he wants to win the nomination, he's going to have to withstand a lot worse than that. I think the damage done to this global news organization is going to last far longer than Bloomberg's candidacy might.
The other thing is he would be much better off controlling the story, letting it kind of soft pedal it out, then let somebody else try to add to it. I think that's going to be very, very bad for him. News on 93.1.